Miracles still happen every day to ordinary people. The following are true stories of miraculous encounters that our listeners have called in, told with their own voices in their own words. We hope that these stories strengthen your faith in God, in His love for you, and in His mighty power.
So I just got off a two-week hitch on an oil rig I was working at. I was ready to be home, so I decided that I was just going to go ahead and get cleaned up and go to the house from there. It was about 7 o'clock at night when I got off, and I had about a 600-mile drive ahead of me. About halfway through this drive, it took me through a major city that had some road work going on. And the left lane was coming to a close up ahead, and I was in the right lane, and this white car shot past me trying to beat me. And when they went and switched my lane, they ran me off the road, sent me to the shoulder. And since there was the road work going on, the shoulder was covered in gravel. When my truck hit that gravel, the back end slid to the right. And trying to correct it to get back on the highway, I turned left. And as soon as my back tires hit the pavement, the back end come out from under it, and swung to the left and set the truck airborne. And when I was airborne, it started to flip. I was doing about 75 miles an hour, and the truck flipped 3 times and hit and skidded into a concrete barrier. Airbag didn't deploy due to malfunction, and I was not wearing my seatbelt. Because I wasn't wearing my seatbelt, I'd been laid down in the front seat due to the rolling, and the 12-foot logging chain I had the bed of my truck that come through the back glass, it missed my head because I was laid down on the seat. And that probably would have killed me at that point in time. But like I said, since my feet was in the passenger side floorboard, my head was up against the driver's side door, it missed me. And with the police officer that worked the wreck, he told me I was about the most invincible man he's ever seen in my life, but I know it was God watching over me 100%. I know that if it wasn't for him watching over me, I would have died in that wreck. But I was able to walk away from that wreck on my own 2 feet. And the only thing I had wrong with me was I had a cut in my head. Extremely fortunate that night to have God on my side.
My name is Catherine. I've been a Christian since I was 5 years old. I was always emotionally sensitive and was always quite aware when I did something wrong. For various reasons, another subject altogether, I started to wonder if there was something wrong with me. It was generally having to do with boys, later husbands. No matter how hard I tried to be a good wife, it could have something to do with choosing the wrong men. But again, that's another subject. Finally, I married a dear, dear man, a good father to my children who had been deserted by their fathers. And I was happy, so, so happy. In fact, I was so happy that I was afraid it would end, afraid I'd all too soon lose him. It seemed to me that I was lacking something vital in my personality, in my manner, in my very being. Perhaps I was colorless. Maybe there wasn't anything in me that could hold someone to me for more than just a few years it took for the newness to wear off. Add to that, I felt that I had so let down my Savior. Every time I screwed up my life, I felt like Jesus was standing there, his arms folded across his chest, his head moving from side to side in disappointment and pity. Yes, he had accepted me into his family because I'd accepted him. He had promised that in his word. And I knew I was forgiven. But I felt that perhaps I was colorless to him too, sort of like a shirt-tail relative to be patted on the head with a sigh and tolerated. I was so afraid I'd lose this precious husband that one day I went outside, leaned on the wall of the house, and sobbed. I cried out to the Lord in words something like this: "What's so wrong with me? Why can't any man ever keep loving me? How long before he too sees what's missing in me and leaves? I
can't live like this anymore. Please help me, Lord, because I can't help me anymore. And as those words left my mouth, a blanket of soft warmth, something like feathers, seemed to descend and wrap around me. And, not audibly, but within my soul, I heard the Lord speak to me. Something like this. Oh, my dear one, there's nothing wrong with you, and I'm not disappointed in you. So much so that when you hurt, I hurt. When you cry, I cry. When you fail and fall, I am the one who is there to pick you up, to clean the mud off your soul, to tend your bruises, to sew up your wounds. You do have value. Value is gold. That's why I died for you. If others don't see it, don't condemn yourself. At those times, if you have looked inside yourself and found that you have done nothing to purposely hurt someone, and you've done your best to honor and serve them, and me, in the process, then let it go. Don't look at them for your sense of value. Look at me. My arms are never folded when I look at you, for they are reaching out to embrace you and to take hold of your hand to walk with you through life. What a difference that miracle moment meant to my life. I could honor my husband, love him without fear, without wondering if he would leave me. And that applied to others, too. I would love them, serve them, live the best life I could, and give as much as I could. And as long as I was living for Christ and others, and sought never to hurt anyone, if at all possible, and had examined myself to see if there was anything I was doing to cause the problem, and fix it if there was, then if they left me or didn't like me, the problem was theirs and not mine. In fact, I quit thinking about my self-worth at all. My Savior had been with me with love and understanding all the days of my life. When I see his face now, I see only love, only encouragement or comfort as needed. And when others have brought pain into my life, which has happened since that day, I have felt his arms around me, felt his tears fall upon me as he shared my sorrow. I am loved. I am loved forever and ever. Jesus loves me, and that above all is what matters. What a gift he gave me that day. It changed everything for me. Thank you.
Hi there, my name is Nathan Parker. I live in Jakarta, Indonesia. I'm going to share a dream with you that I had. So in the dream, I was by a house, and I had this impression that these two guys that used to bother me in school and who used to sell drugs, it was their house. So I was standing out front with someone, I'm not sure who it was, can't remember, but they said, "I'm not sure why these guys bothered you, they were really mean to you, but they have some things of yours. Here's the keys to the safe, go get back the things that belong to you." So we went inside, we opened the safe, and he gave me a bag. He said, "This is yours, you can take it, go." So I took it behind a couch, I was looking through it, but then I got this idea that the people who had taken my bag were coming back. So all of a sudden my wife showed up and my dog showed up and they helped me get the bag out of there. So we went into the back alley, and in the back alley I opened it up, and there was keys, like hotel room keys, there was keys to locks for doors, just different locks you would use. So I kind of wondered in the dream, gee, I wonder what all these keys are for. So after I opened, or after I woke up, I wondered what they were about. And astonishingly, I got out of bed and did the things I was normally doing. And then all of a sudden, I found a couple things that had been lost for a while. We didn't know where they were. They just showed up. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, "You've been given back things you lost." For me, they were character traits. Gentleness, patience, and purity. And I've walked in a greater measure of those things since it happened, and I'm thankful for them.
Hello, this is Elisa Benner, and I'm calling from Roanoke, Virginia, to just share a miracle that happened the other day. I was trying to prepare for my grandson's birthday. He's turned four. He turned four. And I only had just shy of $15 on me when I got off work, and I knew I had to pick him up a cake and a birthday gift. So I went to the local grocery store and went in and got a small cake for him. come outside. I was getting ready to get to another store, and I was going to my car, and as I was going up to my car, there was this homeless man, down on his luck maybe. But as I was coming out, he started singing, and I just noticed he had the most amazing voice. He was singing some kind of song. He was saying, "Be good," and it was an awesome song. I stopped to listen to him, and I complimented him on his voice, told him that, you know, he sang wonderful. So when I was getting ready to turn and go away, he said something about needing $10, wanted to know if I could help him get a little bite to eat. And all I had in the back of my mind was, you know, when I went into the grocery store, I had $14 on me. I got this cake for him, and I only had just a little bit left in order to get a birthday present. And so I went ahead and I shared what I had with him, because I just felt it on my heart to give him something. And because he's very humble when he asked. And so I gave him part of what I had. I gave him $5, which only left me with just a little bit left to get my grandson a birthday gift. So I go to the dollar store because I couldn't think of anywhere else to go. And I started noticing all these sell signs. And I was like, "Lord, please just let me find something that I can get for my grandson, you know, for such a little value," because I didn't have the money anymore to really get a gift. And so I look around, and all of a sudden I started noticing all of these, you know, on sale items. And I was able to find a little thing or two. And as I was getting to the register and going through my purse, trying to get what little bit of money I had in order to pay for it, I found all of a sudden another extra $5 in my purse that I didn't know I had. And I was just like, "Thank you, Jesus." You know, it was just, it was a big blessing, because it allowed me, it enabled me to pick up a balloon also for my grandson. Because to a four-year-old, a birthday cake, a balloon, and a present, that just makes his birthday complete. And I was able to do all of that for under $15. And it was just so amazing. I was so thankful to the Lord above, because if it had not have been for that, I don't feel like I could have made the evening special for my grandson. That's my story. I think that because I gave from my heart to this man who was down on his luck, Lord gave back to me. He blessed me back. And I just wanted to share that with you. I just thought that was a very special night for me. Anyway, thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Bobby. I have some testimony to share with you on one part of my life. I was molested from the time I was 9 till I was 15 when I tried to commit suicide to get out of it. And I remember dying and going to the light. I remember God telling me, "No, go back. It's not your time, Bobby." And so I came back and was angry at the world, was angry at God, was angry at everything. I felt like a complete failure. I couldn't even do suicide right. It took me a lot of years before I turned to God, even though he had spoke to me and I knew it was him.
Hello, my name is Glenn King. And I just want to share a little story with you guys. My family and I were camping up in Sand Mountain in Nevada, and on our way back, we came back through Reno, Sparks in Reno, and we stopped at the outlet malls. And I was in the store with my wife, and I was talking to this young man, and he was 19 years old, if I remember right, and looked to be in good shape. This is a super polite kid. Was talking to him, and for some reason I just got this inkling, like, you know, he had lower back pain, and there was nothing that, you know, there was no red flags. He wasn't limping around. He wasn't aching. He wasn't, you know, it wasn't obvious. He wasn't complaining or moving slow or anything. And so I just asked him, I said, "Hey, do you have lower back pain?" And he said, "Yeah, I do." And then excuse me, I then had a thought that he had a a leg that was shorter than the other. So I asked him, you got one leg that's shorter than the other? And he says, I sure do. And I said, really? And right then I knew that, you know, that was God putting these thoughts in my head, speaking to me in that still subtle voice that he's so good at. And so I said, really, what time you get off? And he said, I get off in about 15 minutes. So I said, all right, I'll be out front. I'll fix it for you. And he said, okay. And I don't know what he was probably thinking at that point. I don't know what I was thinking by saying that. I probably would have headed out the back door, you know, wondering what this what this guy's going to do to me. But he was all for it. He was cool. He came out the front door. And so we sat him down on a bench. And it was my son-in-law and I, and another young friend of ours that we ride together. You know, he'd just been a friend forever. And so we sit him down on the bench, and his leg is literally, I would say, an inch and a three quarters to 2 inches, probably closer to 2 inches, shorter than the other. And I was pushing on him, and he was sitting square in the chair, so there was no weird things going on. He wasn't moving. And so we just begin to pray, and we just have to take ownership over this stuff. God gives us authority over this stuff. And we just have to own it. We have to go after it. And, you know, we didn't ask God to heal his leg. We didn't ask God to grow his leg out. We didn't beg and plead with him. We ordered this thing to grow out. We commanded it to happen in Jesus' name, because that's what the Word of God instructs us to do. So we just take authority over it. And the authority is not mine. It's given by God. It is God's authority, but he gives it to us, and we're supposed to be diligent in doing these things. So it took about 3 minutes. Actually, it took 3 minutes exactly, if I remember right. And the kid's leg grew out, and there was a gentleman sitting right next to him, and he was kind of baffled, and he kind of said that he knew what was getting ready to happen. So once it was done, I got up, and he got up, and I got up, and we started talking, and I asked him if he wanted to take down my phone number. And he said, no, I'm kind of weird about people. And I said, oh, that's cool. You know, it's all good. And so I just I told him it was Jesus, it wasn't me. And he said that he wasn't religious at all. And I said, well, I'm really not religious either. I kind of despise it, really. I just love the Lord, and he loves me, and he loves you, and that, this is kind of how it works. And spoke to him for a little bit longer, and then as I walked away, I asked the guy next to him, I said, you got anything you need prayer for? And he said, oh, no, I'm good. He kind of freaked out, which, you know, this should really be normal, but it really isn't. You know, people are just kind of freaked out about it, and I get it, man. I totally get it, but it should be normal Christianity. You know, God wants us to go out and do this. He said, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It shouldn't be weird. It's not, it's so cool. It is, it's the funnest thing ever. And so as we walk away, I begin to pray for him. I just ask God to show up in his life and just make yourself known to this kid and just light him up with your presence. And I don't know what happened after that. But I know it was a heck of a cool encounter with God and with this young man. And he has to go home. He had to go home and mow this thing over and try and figure out what just happened. And maybe, you know, you just never know what happened. And so I'm super, super eager to do this more. And we've done it lots and lots more after this. But anyway, we got about 100 feet away from this kid, and we turned around. We're high-fiving each other, basically, you know. And we're like, wow, that was the coolest thing ever. And we turn around and look, and he's still standing there at that bench, just kind of looking around like, what in the world just happened? And that other guy was sitting there talking to him, and kind of wish I was a fly on the wall at that point to see what they were saying. But it was just so cool. And you know, God just calls us to step out and be his hands and feet. We are him, but his ambassadors, and this is what we're supposed to do. So, man, I hope this encourages you guys. Love you guys. Care about you guys. We just got to step out. Anyway, have a great day. Appreciate you guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow Redeemed Recordings on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and tell a friend. You can also leave a review on your podcast app to help others find the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode. If you have a story that you'd like to share, please visit redeemedrecordings.com/encountered to find out how you can share your story on a future episode. While we can't personally verify every miraculous story, we trust God to safeguard us from imposters. Every day, God is working miracles in the lives of ordinary people. And while some might dismiss these events as luck or coincidence, we know God is in control. We hope you'll tune in next week for more amazing true stories of spiritual encounters.
This is a Redeemed Recordings production. Copyright Redeemed Recordings 2020. Find more ritual content at redeemedrecordings.com.